At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to College Football Week 2 Prediction Show, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Hopefully, you didn't put any money on DJ Ukulele last night. I sure didn't.
Well, he's going to win the Heisman. That's the liberal take anyways.
God, the Libby boys, dude. DJ Ukulele couldn't hit a 5-yard touchdown pass to a wide open man.
Or...
hand up.
No, you're right. Yeah,
I was wrong.
That's it.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
We wrong. I wrote for Florida State. I'm sorry. I was trying to be different, but
I told you that the season was over. And I said, I called both of them. Both of them.
I just didn't know Jordan Travis was that important.
Also, it's worth noting, that whole team is bad.
You know, I can't tell.
They are.
It's hard really because they can't get off the field.
They had 26 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Their lines have gotten dominated 2 weeks in a row
by
Tech and BC.
Well, let me ask you this. When you have a shitty quarterback, because this is what happened to Ohio State, dead serious last year. When you have a shitty quarterback like that, you can afford to stack the box and then let the guy throw. Like that appears is what both teams did the first 2 weeks.
It doesn't make up for why their defensive line is getting gashed for 500 rushing yards over the course of two games.
It's pretty bad.
That's true. So the defense, it is a noticeable drop off from last year, but obviously the quarterback.
No, the quarterback sucks. But what I'm saying is, like, look at I'm talking about the lines as a whole though. Like,
we are also
something's wrong with this team when both lines. Like, the toughest parts of your what's supposed to be the toughest parts of your team are just getting slapped around by B-tier schools.
We also might see an all-time collapse, a team going from 13-0 in the regular season to maybe like a 3-win team this year.
And if they do, let me pose the question, because I know you love Norvell. I personally think Deion Sanders is out of there at Colorado. That is still his dream job at Florida State. Does he hop on down the bunny trail and go to Florida State if Norvell wins five wins?
Not one fucking prayer.
Okay.
Norvell could go. He could lose every game this year, and Deion Sanders is not going to be the coach of Florida State.
I mean,
and here's why: Deion Sanders has shown that he is not a competent college coach. Why the fuck would anybody offer him a job?
You know,
like he wants to play the fucking like. Remember when he retired and became a preacher for a while?
Yeah.
That he wants to play that role on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm the dad coach. You know what I mean? I'm the response. And fair enough, right? Like, he's not saying wrong stuff to dudes. He's saying the right stuff. He's bringing up probably, I'm sure, some good young men. But what the fuck are we talking about here? He can't win games.
Well, it's going to come down to NIL. And we'll take this DJ Ukulele sitch. And we'll start with him first, because I know the behind-the-scenes shit on this. Obviously, we're doing NIL deals with all these schools. I've been in contact with all of them, Miami included, Florida State included, in this. And this is our Illinois can, thanks to everybody who came out to the tailgate and drank that. We're in all the stadiums for the next 3 years for Hard AF Seltzer there. I can tell you this. Florida State wanted Cam Ward in the offseason. They did not have the money. It's like the NFL now, where they just simply didn't have the money. Miami said, hey, we have it. We'll give you $10 million. You come here. So then Florida State had to look at the rest of the free agents, and that's what they are now at this point, let's face it. And the only guy left with some form of name value was DJ Ukulele, and they got stuck with this fucking guy. And it was late. Like, they didn't get him until later on in the transfer portal. So not only is he lacking time in first reps with the offense, but then you got a quarterback who's just not very good anyways. And you see the difference of what happens when you pay a guy like Cam Ward, which we'll get to.
Well,
like,
here's another thing. Maybe just recruit a quarterback. Yeah. Why was no one lined up?
Yeah, it's Florida State. You could have been the national champion. They had a real shot at it last year. They were playing very well. They just had injuries at the end.
And the four teams that were in the final weren't very good.
Yeah.
So, like, in as far as, like, years past.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a dream team last year.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I mean, I think this speaks more to Norvell than anything. That's your job.
It is.
Whether it's the old school sitting down and with the parents recruitment or the NIL recruitment, it's your fucking job to get it done.
Yep.
The end, right? That's why fucking... Chip went up to Ohio State because he doesn't want to do that shit anymore.
Not only does he not want to do that shit anymore, I know you guys said him and Ryan Day would get into it on the sidelines this year. He's not on the sidelines. It's the first time he's been in the booth calling offensive plays, and he just genuinely, because I watched that game when we got back from University of Georgia.
It was a rough start.
It is, but you've got so many superstars that you're trying to feed the ball to. I understand what's going on there, but watching him up there, he just looks like a happy dude who doesn't have to deal with that bullshit anymore. And even Nick Saban on College Game Day was the first one to, cuss live on air on that fucking show. He goes, look, if you get the wrong guy in NIL, you are shit out of luck. That was his exact quote before all these Saturday games started.
Yeah.
And then, boom, here we are. Because I said this shit about Cam Ward a couple weeks ago on this show. I go, dude, watch what he's able to do with Miami, because him on his own, he can lead a team to 9 or 10 wins just on his fucking talent. It doesn't really matter who's around him that much. Now, swap him out with FSU and a great coach and everything else. FSU probably competes, and they're not now. So,
yeah.
I don't know that they do because their lines look so bad.
I don't think Norvell recruited at all.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to take shit off of DJ. DJ sucks. DJ missed
awful.
DJ missed open throws left and right last night.
But their lines are getting bullied.
Their lines are getting, I mean, watch the next Florida State game against Memphis. not even a P4 team against Memphis. I bet you they get pushed around again. Like, that's inexcusable. You can't have your lines getting shoved around by weak-ass teams, which they have 2 weeks in a row. It's fucking wild.
Is it at Memphis or at Florida State?
Florida State.
Okay. Well, there's that.
They just lost.
Not only did they just lose. Did you guys see the stands last night? Either they're doing renovations or they didn't sell out, but they were all tarped off. So the entire bowl of the stadium up top was all tarped off. I hope it's for renovations rather than reservations, for Christ's sakes, because holy shit. It wasn't loud. Nobody really gave a fuck, and then they got bullied early, and that crowd checked out of that game real fast. And their season is done. They're 0-2, and now they can try to hope for the best here. But at least that kid's out of there, I think, after this year. Does he not have another year left of eligibility?
Who, ukulele?
Yeah.
They're not. He won't be their quarterback next year under any circumstances.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think he'll last this year.
He's probably 23.
Did you see the fucking tight end for Miami on his ninth year?
Yeah. I love that story, by the way. Holy shit. Did you watch it?
What, did he get lost in the halls some shit?
Oh my God, dude. He tore three ACLs. He tore his Achilles. He had a COVID year. It's the gnarliest shit I've ever seen. He wasn't ever supposed to walk again. And then, he's in year 9, and I think he's 27 years old, and he's trucking people out there.
I mean, talk about another Florida team that's just absolute ass, the Gators.
God, but who called that? I told you.
I didn't see that coming. I thought Miami was soft. I was wrong. Cam Ward is
the truth. Yeah. He is good. the fucking truth.
But they also have a competent line, too. You know, there's only so much a guy. Like, look, I still don't think they're winning games necessarily. I tend to agree with the liberals on that. It's like
that Miami,
that Florida State would not be winning games even with Cam Ward. I don't think that's true, because their lines suck badly. They just got pushed around by Georgia Tech and Boston College in back-to-back weeks.
If you're looking at Miami's schedule, by the way, they've got Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, California, Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse, they could win the fucking conference.
It's a path, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, Miami's probably got the best path to win the conference now, because Clemson's not very good.
No.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll get to it, because we were there at that game, and that's what really helps. But you guys know the rules, same as every other year on this show. Go through the winners and the losers of last week. Luckily, it was a great fucking week and very few losers. This one is technically part of last week, so we'll bring it up. Florida State, Georgia Tech. Obviously, we know what happened there. Georgia Tech beat them. Next up was Mizzou Bob, I'm going to ask you this because we were at the Illinois game, 51-0. How did the boys look up there?
Everything was right according to plan.
Missed a couple throws.
Brady missed a couple deep balls, but it's whatever. First game of the year. Defense looked great. Offense looked great. We scored 28 points in the first quarter.
Like, yeah, 35-0 at halftime. I'm looking at a 51-0 overall. It's to be expected.
We didn't play starters in the second half at all, pretty much. So
yeah, it makes sense. And a lot of these schools don't. Utah rolled over Southern. Utah there. Cam rising for Heisman. Rising for Heisman, dude.
He didn't play in the second half. He had five touchdowns.
Love to see it. Glad he's back healthy. I love watching this kid play, and I hope he's healthy the entire season because he's fun to watch, and I actually root for this guy. Next up was Lindenwood, the old juvenile detention center against Kansas. 48-3, obviously no spread on that, but Kansas did what they needed to do, I guess. I mean,
yeah, Kansas looked good.
Okay. Next up was NC State against Western Carolina.
Looked awful.
Yeah.
No, NC State looked awful.
They looked bad. They had to turn it on in the fourth, and they came back to win this game. They were down, they had to win it in the fourth quarter there. But
NC State is not going to be a top 25 team.
I agree. They're kind of going to be in flux in and out of the top 25 of that last two or three spots all year long. I'm with you there. Oklahoma ended up rolling Temple. No surprises there. Jackson Arnold, four touchdowns there. Good for him. I like when Oklahoma's good. Also like their new tradition of TK, Toby Keith, at the end of the third quarter there for the stadium. RIP to that true patriot. He's more of a patriot than obviously Dan Holloway ever was. And Oklahoma recognizes that.
Yeah.
And they're doing all they can for him there. The game that I was most curious about, which is the game that we were at, was whether or not this non-NIL shit could work. And you and I watched it, and when they took the field for warm-ups, I looked at you, and I go, oh, this team doesn't want to be out there. Mm. I immediately dropped 500 on my bookie on this. They didn't look like they wanted to play in this game at all from the warm-ups, man.
It feels like Dabo has completely lost that locker room. That's what it feels like. And that was backed up in a lot of ways, watching his play calling throughout the game. Mm-hmm. It was mind-blowing that on third and long on multiple occasions, after not getting a single yard on this play, they ran the same option play over and over.
Yep.
Right? It's an option dive or quarterback keep to the left. They ran that three different times on third down. Another time they were on third and long in a big fucking moment and threw the ball 5 yards.
Yep.
And got tackled immediately because it's fucking Georgia. Like, sorry, man. You know who you're playing. You know they don't give up cheap yards. They don't give it up. You got to throw beyond like the marker and shit. They knelt the ball out essentially at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah,
knowing Jordan's just getting the ball back after halftime. It was mind blowing.
It was 6-0 with 2 minutes left, and there's now a 2 minute warning in college football. So it was just under the 2 minute warning. All Dabo had to do was call a timeout with 1:59.
And he waited until there was 7 seconds left in the clock, and then he called a timeout. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Ran it out and went in the locker room at 6-0 instead of trying to go up 7-6 or maybe getting it to 6-3. I mean, that team just fucking quit. Georgia themselves, look, same formula is NIL-wise as they've been doing. Great lines, weak secondary. So anybody who can throw the ball, watch out for like an Ole Miss or somebody against Georgia this year. Anybody who can throw the ball, you can definitely exploit their secondary. And there's no superstars on the outside. They can run the ball really well. Obviously, that quarterback looks very good.
Yeah, Beck looks good, but they don't have anything that I would call like a great receiver.
No.
The best receiver on the field was Antonio Williams from Clemson. He made several amazing catches, just like great catches. He was open a lot. They just wouldn't throw the fucking ball to him. He only had 6 receptions in that game. Klubnik looked good on the defensive side. Clemson's interior defense did not look particularly good. The edge rushers are good. The cornerbacks on the outside are really good. The safety's okay, but the interior of that defense is anybody that's a running team is going to fuck them up.
So what happens when you don't have depth? And if you don't hit the transfer portal, you don't have depth anymore.
And that was the other thing, too. Kirby's just a fucking – he's so much better of a coach than Dabo is. When it got into the meat of this, when right before Georgia started taking the lead in a big way, like they were up 6-0 or whatever, right after they scored that next touchdown – And it was, what, Clemson had three, so it was like 13-3 or something like that.
Yeah.
He started rotating in and out his edge rushers on every third play, basically. New edge rushers are coming in. And Clemson didn't get a fucking yard for the rest of the game.
No.
That's the difference between the NIL and everything else, or maybe just the way that Kirby coaches and the depth that Bob just mentioned. Clemson doesn't have it.
All these schools have a budget NIL-wise, and I think the way they're managing it there at Georgia is appropriate. Yeah, you win in the trenches, and that's what they're doing, and that's why they've been so successful. Yeah,
but there are holes there, but like Clemson's biggest problem is their coach, I think. I honestly believe it, because they've got – their running back is pretty good. I think he got about 850 last year as a backup to Will Shipley. Quarterback's pretty good. He's not great, but he's good enough, and they have a top-tier receiver, a guy that, like, he's really good. If he was on a better team, he probably would be a Heisman candidate. That's how good this kid is. Defense is serviceable enough, especially in the ACC. You can make it. Mm-hmm. But the coaching is fucking mind-boggling. It's a head-scratcher every time with this guy. I think without two generational college quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, we don't even know Dabo's name, and he's definitely not at Clemson right now.
No.
And like, so he's not a good coach.
I just don't think this is a way to operate in today's world as far as NIL goes and not doing it. Klubnik also wasn't given any opportunities to really throw the ball to show what he could do. So, like, it's strange, man. I know a lot of people over the weekend were saying, well, looks like without Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, Dabo's maybe not that good of a coach.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case.
It is the case. It's 100% the case.
Next up is Ohio State Akron. Blowout there, 52-6. Watched this game when I got back on Saturday night. Will Howard, fuck. I love you. You look great. Seven drops in this game. Look, you got six number one wide receivers there. Holy shit. I get you're nervous because two of you are going to have to sit on the fucking bench. But seven drops is unacceptable. Will Howard was throwing dimes. Just like we said earlier, though, in the year, he's going to have one horrific throw a game, and he sure did in this one. Luckily, he was bailed out by the running back in that. But other than that, I'll take it. It's just trying to find enough balls for all these dudes on here. I mean, they were even playing freshmen like superstars to try to keep them happy so they don't fucking transfer, which I don't agree with, but it's a new fucking world. But they look very good. I'm amped about this season for Ohio State.
Your boy Kyle McCord threw four touchdowns this weekend.
Sure did. Who do they play up there in Syracuse?
Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, University of Ohio. Okay. Yeah, good for him. I'm sure he's going to do great things. Or whatever the opposite of that is. Oregon. All right. You guys picked them to win the national championship.
I picked Georgia.
I picked Oregon.
Okay. They looked terrific against Idaho, which is an FBS school.
FCS.
I don't care. We're going back to Division I. I'm not doing any of the fucking make-em-ups anymore. It's a Division I team. Division II. It's a D2 school is who this is. Essentially, they didn't look great. Defense doesn't look that great. So I don't know what to think of this Oregon team. We'll see as the year progresses. But man, it was real fucking close towards the end of this. It was 17-14 at one point in the fourth quarter there. People were like, holy shit, is Idaho going to beat Oregon at Oregon? I mean, it was nuts. Yeah.
I mean, all the indicators for Oregon having a good game are here. Efficient passing, 41 out of 50, mm-hmm. right?
Dylan Gabriel looked fine.
That's 82%.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Converted on third down 7 out of 16 times. You got to fucking put more than 24 points on the board when you do that. Right?
Yeah, yes.
It's like, I don't know what happened in this game. They had a bunch of penalties, but and they lost a fumble, so that doesn't help. That wipes out a full drive. But still, man, Idaho gave up two. Right, they had two interceptions in this game.
If they didn't, they could have won the game.
Yeah,
So it was wild to see.
Boy,
yeah, we'll see.
I mean, Idaho scored 14 points on a total of 217 yards, and Oregon had 487 yards.
Yeah.
And they scored 24.
Yeah, not great.
No, that's bad.
Not great. Next up, Texas, Colorado State. I know Colorado State, and you know most of these schools are fucking dog shit schools. However, you should roll them into the 50s. Take Ohio State, Missouri, Alabama, Ole Miss, all these guys. Roll them into the 50s. They did that. I was very impressed with Quinn Ewers. He looked pretty fucking sharp all day. I knew he threw a pick, but they've got brand new wide receivers on Texas, and I'm going to flip my pick for this week when we get there. But they were fucking dealing, man. I was worried about the running backs. They're fine. You got two out for the year. The rest are fine.
I mean, it's
the
fucking
new wide receivers look great.
It's Texas.
Texas looks great.
It's Texas. They'll have running backs. The wide receivers are what I was concerned about, and they look good. So, and Quinn Ewers looked fucking really good.
Texas should flip over Oregon this week, in my opinion.
So the poll's out.
And
they
it is.
They did, yeah.
Okay, great. I was going to say, holy shit. Because if you were watching it, it is what it is. Another team that looked unbelievably impressive was Alabama. Again, I know it's Western Kentucky, but first time seeing DeBoer, he fucking went for it the whole goddamn game. 63-0. That's what Bama fans want. So this could be a fun team here if they're able to keep going. Once again, Milroe's the only question mark. If he's forced to throw, we'll see what happens. Ole Miss, Jackson Dart. Fuck. 6 touchdowns in this game? My God.
Yeah, I mean,
I know it's Furman.
Yeah, it's Furman, but yeah, that's he had a good day.
You want to see it? You want to see it. Now, here's a loss for me here. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. Boy.
Win for me.
Man, I can't. This was 13-13 late in the fourth with maybe 2 minutes left. Texas A&M just choked this game away. They're not good. Neither is Notre Dame, by the way. So
neither looked great.
No, it was a fucking awful game to watch. And I don't have high expectations for either of these teams this year. That Riley Leonard kid had 158 yards passing from Duke. That was their big NIL transfer there. That ain't the dude. Luckily, Notre Dame's got an easy schedule this year, or they'd be fucked.
Yeah.
Because they could have easily lost this game with a competent team. Penn State, dude. I thought they looked great. Drew Allar looked fucking awesome. There was a big weather delay in this game, and then they had to take off and everything else. But he looked sharp. Defense looked sharp. And on the road at West Virginia is not an easy place to play, and they took care of business, 34-12.
No, they were really conservative about it, too. I don't know for what reason, but 18 pass attempts and 42 run attempts.
It was the weather.
Yeah, probably that. So we'll see. I mean, Allar was very efficient. Looked good. Looked good. Not a whole lot of mistakes.
But this was an 8.5-point spread. We both picked Penn State. This was never close. So
no.
Yeah.
No, it'll he's this might be the turnaround for him. Who knows yet, though? They've got better games. So the next 3 weeks they play Bowling Green and Kent State and somebody else. Hang on. They play Illinois. Those are
okay.
Like, get your shit together in those games.
Yeah.
Because those teams all fucking suck. Then they play UCLA, and then they play at USC. That's going to be a big fucking game at USC.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I do think USC's better, quite a bit better this year than
their
they were
defense
last
looked
year.
Better.
Yeah, I think the team is better than they were last year.
We'll get to it. But we won that one. Michigan versus Fresno State. Okay, look, this one was a shocker to me, and I'll tell you why. I don't know why they're not starting Alex Orji at quarterback. So apparently they made that decision on a Tuesday. It was like a fifth-year senior who was a walk-on, who had cancer at one point, who's their quarterback. All the Michigan fans on Twitter were calling for this guy to be out and put Orji in. I don't know what happened in the offseason that this kid is not your starter. He played the national championship game. He played against Ohio State sparingly, a few plays here and there, and he looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's a package guy.
And then, boom, they replace him with somebody else.
Because he's not a quarterback. He's a package guy.
Doesn't matter. That's what Michigan's system is. Like, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's really a quarterback. He runs the same offense where he can take off and run. You only need him for 15 throws a game. So why isn't he in there? And the Michigan fans have said the exact same thing. I don't have any answers for you, but it wasn't great. And I think next weekend is going to be bad when we're up there. I think Quinn Ewers coming to town could be bad, because one of these touchdowns was a defensive pick six. And if you don't have that, this is a 20-10 game. Maybe they got a field goal late. So they're in trouble, man. Next up, Tennessee, Chattanooga. 69-3 there. This new kid for Tennessee.
Nico.
Just go, Nico.
Is that what we're calling him?
Nico. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Highly touted. Look great.
So is Samson. Their running back is fucking good, too.
Yeah.
Dylan Samson, he's going to be probably early second-round draft pick, I would think. Yeah, Tennessee looks all right. We'll see how their defense holds up against actual teams moving down the line, but the offense was good.
Yeah.
This is as good as it got with Hooker and those guys, so we'll see how it goes. I'm curious about them.
Yeah, next up, Oklahoma State, South Dakota State. Called this one. Look, it's an FBS school. Nothing more to say than that. I think one of you guys said they usually win something in the FBS. It's a Division II.
Super competent program.
They won the Natty last year.
Yeah, they can they can jump up and bite some teams. Not a team as good as Oklahoma State, but they can still make you.
I don't think Oklahoma State's that good.
Ollie Gordon's still Ollie Gordon. 27 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns.
It's a tough game. Like it's fine. Like any good decent team should win, but like South Dakota State's not the easiest draw in the world.
Also, Bowman's been in fucking college for like 9 years too.
Yeah, look, it was 38-13 in the third quarter. Oklahoma State didn't have any problems in this game. Next up, Kansas State versus UT Martin. 41-6. Avery Johnson's the dude now. I think he's going to find out very quickly what Will Howard learned, is that you don't have the receivers there, friend. And we had 150 yards passing in this game, and not great against UT Martin. Next up, Miami. Called this one as well. Cam Ward, dude, is that guy. I told you last week he could win 10 games for you on his own, and they're certainly going to do it this year. Right now, you know, we'll go ahead and fucking over-panic on this, but this looks like the ACC champion right now. They certainly look like the best team in the ACC.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know who else in the ACC will even be competitive with them. I really don't think...
Clemson's awful.
Yeah, I mean,
FSU is awful.
I don't know what Clemson was doing. Like, Louisville looked... They put up 62, too. They had a fucking good week. Get to that.
I think Louisville's going to be a little bit of a dark horse this year.
Yeah, Louisville
for sure.
Might be a dark horse.
SMU, baby, I'm telling you.
I don't think...
They were terrible last week.
Georgia Tech is ranked now. I don't think they're going to fucking win out or anything like that, but they are going to play Florida State and beat them, probably.
Yeah.
For the first time in a couple of days, that's going to happen. But nobody else in this conference is good enough to beat Miami. If they play like they did last week, nobody else is good enough to beat them.
Yeah, Cam Ward apparently was worth a $10 million down there in Miami. Congratulations. At least you guys will have something to look forward to this year, because you got a pretty easy schedule, easy conference, and the U can be back, and then you can throw up the shit, get some more money, and then start buying out more people there. And this is what Chris Sabal promised within the first few years, and here you go. You got it. Next up, New Mexico at Arizona. Arizona worked them 61-39. Didn't watch this game.
This was an awesome game for half. Yeah, okay. It was tied at like half, and then Arizona balled out. McMillan had 300 yards receiving. He's the best receiver in the country.
Mm.
Fafita, him and Fafita have been playing together since eighth grade. So
the quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, that's a monster total. 10 catches, 304 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, Arizona's a bit of a problem. They've got two very high-quality running backs as well, in addition to what might be, to Delco's point, the best quarterback-receiver combo in the country right now. They're going to fucking score a shitload of points this year.
They are. And, like, I mean, shit, the only person I can remember sniffing 300 was Jackson Smith and Jigma, and I think he got...
It's like 285.
288, somewhere in there in a game. Like, other than that, this is unheard of. 300 yards in
a
game.
For a receiver, yeah, it's
fucking
wild.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, that's a quarterback total. Fucking Avery Johnson didn't even throw for half of that, for Christ's sakes.
That's more receiving yards than DJ Ukulele will have passing yards in any game this season.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Combined?
Combines, yeah.
Not combined, but.
Yeah, combines. Next up was Illinois State versus Iowa. Had this one, told you to take the under. It was 42. They won 40-0. Thank you, Iowa. Thank you.
6-0.
Yeah, I won that by half a point. I had the under at 40.5.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
I got it in at 42, and I was sweating it towards the end. I was like, they dropped 21 in the fourth quarter. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here?
No.
Is he going to play offense all of a sudden? And luckily, they held on, got the under, so we won that one. All right. Now, here's where I took my other L for the weekend. LSU. I've told you on the show forever, Brian Kelly's a fucking loser. He will never win anything. He will never win a big game or a national championship or any of that shit. And what do? I go and bet on him. I posted in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. You guys followed me. I wrote an apology last night, and then I gave you BC, okay? I did that. Don't forget that Daddy did that. But Brian Kelly pounding his fist on the table during the press conference afterwards, I got to do better. And he lost the fake Southern accent and all that other shit. Yeah, you do. But every Notre Dame fan, you know, chimed in after this loss, and they were like, this is the same shit he did at Notre Dame forever. Yeah. Why would you think it would change to LSU? I don't know. I watched this fucking game. They could have won by 2 touchdowns in this game. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with this guy. But again, he's a loser. I've learned my lesson, and I'm sorry. I'm not going to bet on these fucking losers anymore. Will LSU win a national championship with Brian Kelly? Absolutely fucking not, dude. No, he's a loser. He lost the last 4 season openers in a row. 4. I didn't know that stat either. Fuck. So that's on me, dude. I apologize. Now, as far as USC goes, very much improved defense over there. Moss looks great in that system, and we'll see. We'll see. It's still LSU and Brian Kelly, so yeah, I would wait till Penn State. Penn State's a really formed all the way around team there, and I think that'll be a true test to how good this team can be, but at least the defense has improved. They finally fired Alex Grinch in the offseason, their DC from last year. So they got somebody in there. I don't know who it is. You know their defensive coordinators now?
Yeah, they hired the guy from UCLA, who I think they were top 15 defense last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, look, he learned his lesson, turning the program around, and we'll see. We'll see what happens with USC. And then last but not least is BC versus Florida State. Again, Daddy gave you that gift. I apologize for Brian Kelly, and then boom, here we are. They won again. Florida State is 0-2. This was also Bill O'Brien and his return to coaching in college football. You guys came after me when he was hired as the offensive coordinator for Ohio State for a cup of coffee here in the spring. And I said, I don't understand why you're coming after Bill O'Brien. He was great in college. He turned that Penn State team around right after the Sandusky bullshit happens. He went down. He was the OC of Alabama. Got them averaging 42, 43 points a game over there. He's a good college football coach. Yeah, he might not have worked out in the fucking pros. It happens to a lot of college coaches. But he looked great, and he had a great game plan last night. They chewed the fuck out of this clock, dude. During the first quarter alone, Florida State only had the ball for 48 seconds in that game. And that was clearly the game plan, and they just kept handing off the ball, chewing down the clock, scoring touchdowns, and then they kneeled it out. 2 minutes left on the 5-yard line. He said, you know what? We feel bad for you, Florida State. Fuck you. We're going to kneel this out and not score. This should have been 35-13, and it might have gotten Norvell fired if they would have let in one more touchdown there, but holy shit. That's a sinking ship at Florida State, and I would imagine they're out of the rankings this week, Bob, right?
Yeah, they're out.
They are unranked, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for BC, hey, look, you got a good coach now, and scrappy defense, scrappy little offense.
Good quarterback.
Keep chewing up the clock, man. You can gain some victories there. You're in the ACC, so shit. Sky's the limit for you this year, BC. We appreciate it. All right, before we get to the week 2 picks, let's get to our sponsors. First and foremost, mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tons of stuff to bet on here. I mean, shit, every game, every college game had like 342 prop bets for it. It didn't matter what game it was. The teasers are awesome. They'll let you go to 13, 10, 7, 6, and 6.5 over there. You can do whatever you want on my bookie. You can bet on all the players, everything. I love it. It's a fucking blast. We're back. We're fucking back. College football's back. NFL is back this week. Can't fucking wait. Tons of stuff to bet on. And the new odds are out. So you can look at the new odds for national championship teams, Heisman Trophy winners, all that other stuff. So whatever you saw over the weekend, if you like it and want to bet on it, fire away right now and try to get the best odds that you can. I'm going to flip on over the calendar, Bob. Who do we got up next?
Oh, Lucy. Lucy and First Form.
Lucy and First Form. Look at me, dude. And with the new fucking thing, look at Daddy over here. I got to figure this out. We got First Form on here today. FirstForm.com/drinking bros. I just took Microfactors 401 on the show. So I'm good. You need to take them too. Vitamins, all the essentials. Big six in here. Antioxidants, CoQ10s, multivitamins, fruits and veggies, probiotics in the EFAs. 30 bags, one beautiful box. Put that wherever you want. No more scraping pills off the counter, out of the medicine cabinet to kind of figure it out. First Forms got you covered. Also, the liver detox pills. Where are these at today? Jesus Christ. I need these. I'm gonna pop four of these in my mouth real quick. D'Anthony, tell us about the protein over there.
Yeah, they've got two different kinds of protein, and this is where they started the company. The first one is Formula One. It's just mostly protein. There's a couple other things in there, but mostly just protein. Drink it as you're working out, before, after, whatever. And then there's a meal replacement. That's Formula One, PH, Formula One. And then Level One is the more meal replacement one. And it comes in a variety of different flavors, and also the Level One protein they use in the protein bars that you see on our desk. To me, it's the best part of the company.
Love them. I love all their products over there. Energy drinks are the best in the business, in my opinion. We're all stocked up on them over here. And the protein, the meat sticks are fucking rad, dude. The breakfast sausages, highly recommend. Go to firstform.com/drinkingbros today, and you're going to get free shipping on orders over $75. And that's First Form, spelled with a one. So it's 1STPHORM.com/drinkingbros. Best in the biz over there. Next up, we got Lucy.co/drinkingbros. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco free. They're available in pouches, gum, and our favorite breakers. The breakers are pouches, but with a capsule of liquid flavor inside that helps you saturate the pouch. Breakers are available in 4 milligrams or 8 milligrams. I use the 4, by the way. Daddy's all hyped up anyways. Favorite flavors for me are mints. I'm old school. All right. I used to dip Kodiak back in high school. So, you know, that mint was my jam back in the day and in college. Berry citrus is really good. I know you like the espresso one, but mint is where I live. If you're not a pouch guy or gal, Lucy Gum is available in 2 milligram, 4 milligram, 6 milligram. Set yourself up with a subscription and have Lucy delivered straight to your door. No more weekly or daily gas station stops. You can buy it in the whole log, too. As you can see, I got some empty ones on my desk right here. But boom, we get this by the log sent in. And of course, Daddy got the wintergreen over here, the mint. The strength-wise, yeah. Again, I'm a high-energy guy, so I'll go with the light one. But it's good for a little pop in the afternoon if you're trying to get back up after lunch. And just get some energy back. So level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/drinkingbros. Use the promo code drinkingbros to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy in case you change your mind. That is lucy.co, and use the code drinkingbros to get 20% off. And as always, free shipping. Obviously, here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age. Every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Last but not least, drinkingbrostickets.com. Bought 50 tickets for the Illinois game that we went to over the weekend. So call the listeners. And shit, we took up two entire rows on like the fucking 40-yard line. It was rad. Bought all the tickets on drinkingbrostickets.com. Get any tickets for college, NFL, all of it's about $10 cheaper than StubHub. Concerts, rodeos, you name it. It's just a simple back end thing for us, and we made it $10 cheaper. That's all there is. It's great, and you can buy tickets for all your favorite games. All right, speaking of favorite games, let's get to this week's favorite games here. First up, we'll be there. We will be there Thursday nights. We get in Texas at Michigan. This spread swung wildly after the games this weekend. Holy shit. So, told you about this last week that my bookie had already offered it. If you got in on it, congratulations. It was -3.5 for Texas. It is now up to -7.5 for Texas.
Still taking Texas at -7.5. I think this is a fucking 2-touchdown game, probably.
I am going to knock this down 0.5 and go at 7 for Texas. But I'm with you. This could be a 2-touchdown game, maybe 3. I think Michigan fans, I think you're going to see Alex Orji in this game sometime, either second quarter or after halftime. That's my guess on this game. I don't know what happened there, but whoever that kid is starting for Michigan ain't good enough, and I think they need to go back to what they were doing last year. So we'll see what happens, but as of now, man, I got Texas -7, and they looked pretty crisp last week. I know it was a shitty team, but Michigan was playing a shitty team too. It's a noon game. How's the weather here? 65 at kickoff? Oh, shit. Fuck, finally. It was 93 last week.
Yeah.
God damn. All right. Hell yeah.
Yeah, this will be better.
Thank God, dude. Let's fucking go.
Well, you got the lake right there. It's a great one. So that helps cool things off. You
know? It is a great lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's better than the average lake.
Okay, good.
Some would say.
Good.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's still tickets on the resale market, even at 235, which is high as fuck on the resale market, by the way.
Yes, for last row? Mm. Well, it's Texas fans. Texas fans travel, man. You and I get stuck in all these fucking airports with Texas fans for these big games. They buy all the flights. They do all the things. And, yeah, I mean, look, I was talking to a couple of Texas fans that live in my neighborhood, and I said, are you excited about this? And they were like, yeah, it's in the big house, which is a bucket list item for some people. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going up to the game. I expect a lot of Texas fans to be there. Same with Alabama last year road.
You think Connor is going to be there?
Connor Stallions?
Yeah.
Look, I watched the docs. You watch it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Guilty as fuck, obviously. But
guilty of what exactly?
That whole sending people to the games, videotaping all of it. And they have it all.
Here's what I think. If you don't see some kind of internal prosecution from the NCAA come within the next like couple of months during this season, I think they may have dug into it a little bit and found out that everybody's doing this shit and that Michigan just had a guy who was actually good at it. That's what I think. I think everybody's doing this, and I think if they come after Michigan hard, they're going to expose everything. So there's a chance that Michigan gets to keep all this.
I don't know. What, 7 level 1 infractions, 55 deleted text messages from the coach.
They may get fucked up. Individuals may get fucked up, and maybe they'll lose some scholarships over the lack of transparency and shit like that. Maybe they have to do something to that degree, but I don't think it's going to be the death penalty or anything even come anything close to that.
I think they'll have to vacate those wins.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think that a bunch of people are doing it.
Blue Bloods get treated differently. I mean, North Carolina a couple years ago got caught doing fake classes for their students, for their basketball players, like classes that didn't exist,
yep.
And that they were just getting A's in. And nothing happened.
No, they punished NC State.
Yeah, like nothing happened.
Jim Trestled, Ohio State. Tattoos for pants.
That is fired, the biggest.
Lost the bowl games. We were undefeated the next year. Should have gone to the national championship. And they had to skip us and put a rematch of LSU Alabama. Like,
that was my boy Pryor.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor, man. I mean, if that was free tattoos. So, I see this going, ending up very badly for them. There's no way. After watching that doc, he was on the sidelines in disguise for another team while he was working for the university.
Prove it.
Did you guys watch it? They did.
Dude, you're right. No, they did.
They
did
prove it in the documentary.
I'm just saying, dude, Blue Bloods do not get punished often. Like, that Ohio State example you gave is correct, and that happened to them, and whatever, but, like, that is an outlier. That is an outlier.
Think about Louisville. Patino's fucking natty.
Yeah.
It's technically gone.
Gone.
That's not a blue blood. You can punish
in basketball?
No, they're not. You can punish a Louisville. Louisville is not above reproach.
Okay.
The North Carolinas, the Michigans, the Texases, the Alabamas.
But Patino's like a blue blood coach. So there's like a line there.
Yeah, it's murky, but the institution is, you could shit all over
that. I just love how Dave Portnoy in the doc, when they asked him, hey, was that Connor Stallions on the sideline? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, it was, because he fucking told me. Like, yes, we all knew it was him.
That's hearsay,
it's
though.
It's not. Even his lawyers, when they were asked, he did not directly answer the question. And I was surprised they let him film it in there, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Hearsay. Yeah.
And he goes, I don't remember where it was that day.
It's hearsay.
We saw you on the sidelines.
It's hearsay without corroboration.
If they get out of this, they're fucking Houdini. Like, there's just no way.
I don't think it's even that. I think the NCAA will at some point look for ways to get them out of it, because if they hammer Michigan for this, they're going to expose that every school is doing this shit.
Well, here's the difference. So they put the Connor Stallions rule in there this year. Mm-hmm. Every quarterback now has communication, same as the NFL, mm-hmm. same with the defensive players and all that shit. So the signals don't matter
Which
anymore.
Which is what I said when this whole thing first popped.
Correct.
Why are you 20 years behind the NFL on
right.
this?
Right.
Like, you, the NFL doesn't even pay for that equipment. They give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the fuck? Anyways.
Now it's at every single school. Something's going to happen, but look, it'll be easier to punish them if they're not great this year. So we'll see what happens there. But I got Texas by, again, I'll kick it. I always kick this down a half a point, but yeah, I got Texas in this one rolling. We'll be there. 65 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Love it. Let's go. Next up, Bowling Green versus Penn State at home, Beaver Stadium. Penn State minus 34.5 against BG.
Yeah, I'll take it.
35-0?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it'll be like in the 40s, I would imagine.
Over-under's 48.5 in this. So what do you think? 42-7? Something like that?
Probably, yeah. Somewhere around
That's
there.
That's what it looks like yeah. here. I'm fine to take it. There's some better games here. But yeah, Penn State looks good to me. I think they fucking roll. Next up, Arkansas at Oklahoma State. This is Oklahoma State's -7.5. It's a lot of respect for Arkansas.
It is. Oklahoma State didn't. It doesn't look like a fucking world beater or anything, but they looked okay.
It's okay,
and it's at home. Arkansas is not good this year, I don't think.
They're not. But I like this kid, Taylen Green. Their quarterback. He's dual threat. He's. Mm. I mean, they played at FCS school or whatever. Yeah, but. They look good.
Yeah, he could keep the score close, which is what Vegas is telling you here. So I don't know. I probably won't bet that game because I don't think Oklahoma State's very good.
I don't either. And so, like, I'll stay away from this one as well.
Oklahoma State also had a couple, like, wonky games last year. They've been kind of inconsistent. I would
look, the wonkiest game to me last year that I lost all my money on was UCF. You remember that game?
45-3.
Yes, yeah. Dude. And it was like a fucking 3-point spread.
I mean, they also
lost my ass on that game.
Don't bet against Gus Malzahn in a game he's not supposed to win.
Well, it was pouring down rain, if I remember correctly, and it was a weird scene. It looked awful.
They're fucking weirdos, both individuals and institutions that always win that type of game.
Yeah,
like Oregon State at home and stupid shit like that.
They also played a ton of close games last year. I mean, they barely beat Central Arkansas. They got blown out by South Alabama. I would feel more comfortable on Arkansas on the points.
Here. I would too. Arkansas +7.5.
Yeah, maybe, but
it's too risky on this one. It's too risky. Next up is Kansas State against Tulane. Mm. This is actually a good game.
Yeah,
here.
Tulane looked good against. Southeast Louisiana last
week. But Tulane's been good for years. Like, for the last 4 or 5 years, they've been pretty fucking good.
Their guy is gone, though. Willie Fritz moved on to Houston.
Right. So this spread right now is 10. I take this down to 9.5. I'll kick it down a half a point, and I'll take K-State. I think they turn it up, and Avery Johnson will have a better week this week.
Is Tulane the best team in the American Conference now?
They usually are.
Not usually.
Yeah. Cincinnati, Houston, fucking UCF had for years been the best.
Willie Fritz is gone. He's at Houston now. Michael Pratt is now.
But there's nobody left in the American Conference.
Yeah, Memphis should win the conference this year.
I picked South Florida to win.
South Florida's not bad this year either. But Tulane is still good. I actually kind of think.
Should be okay.
I would hate to take Tulane, I would hate to take K-State. I kind of think this is a tough test for Avery Johnson early in his starting
career.
You know what's
funny about this? If Tulane pulls off an upset here, they're going to be ranked,
yep,
right? Somewhere in the low
24-25.
Like 24-25. And then if they are able to win their conference, they'll have a ranked win against a power conference,
uh-huh,
and they will be in the fucking playoff. Tulane would be in the playoff under that scenario.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking weird as shit.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's going to happen this
year. It's so bizarre. There's going to be some team like this that's in one of the fucking – is it even a group of five anymore?
It's
what is
G6
it?
Now.
Jesus
and
Christ.
So the way it is, it's the top five ranked conference champions.
Yeah,
right.
So it's probably the four major conferences. And then you'll get either the American champion or the Mountain West champion. Yeah.
So if either Memphis or Tulane, or I guess South Florida as well, are ranked in the low 20s and win that conference, that's probably going to be the fifth auto bid.
Yeah, the Mountain West probably. UNLV
Mountain West and has Boise State.
Boise looked good.
Boise looked good.
Maybe. Yeah, Boise could do it.
UNLV just won a road game against a Big 12 team. UNLV could be in the playoffs as well.
I think we need to demote the Big 12.
And get them out of there?
It's like the most. It's easily the most fun conference.
It's not a Power 5 conference anymore.
Why? Arizona's ranked, Utah's ranked, Kansas State's ranked.
Yeah, they're ranked worse now. But if any of those teams played the middle pack, like if any of them played Missouri, they would all lose. Everyone, Missouri would beat all those teams.
I think Utah.
Hard agree.
I know you would agree, say Utah. Shit. I would take Utah over Missouri right now.
Maybe. It depends on Cam Risen's health. But the fact that we're even arguing over this proves our point that we said a couple weeks ago. There shouldn't be 12 teams in a fucking playoff.
It's more fun.
It's more fun for the other eight teams that aren't in the top four, but we're having a really hard time pinning down four great teams in America.
We've always had a hard time pinning down four, so why make it four and not 12? It doesn't make any sense.
The Big 12 is easily a better conference than the ACC.
Yeah, Big 12 is better than the ACC for sure. The ACC should go away as well.
Yeah, I guess maybe Miami. Who knows? Yeah. Speaking of the ACC, next up, all in on this game. All in on this game. Georgia Tech at Syracuse, -3. Tech's going against Kyle McCord up there. He's going to get his first test, and it's not going to go well for Kyle.
No. Georgia Tech has been the new coach they have down there is a friend of Clay's, actually.
Yep.
They've done a good job of putting together interior people on both sides of the ball, which is going to affect a team like Syracuse, who's not deep on either side of that. Georgia Tech's going to win this game.
And Haynes King is a fucking gamer, dude, mm-hmm. The quarterback for Georgia Tech. Yes, I'm taking Tech -3 here all day, all night, and I watch this game. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. Oh, shit, this is at noon. That's the same kickoff as Michigan, so I won't be there. But all in on Georgia Tech.
This is actually kind of a stacked noon lineup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, tons of great games.
Like, true.
Kyle McCord is going to light up the Yellow Jackets. I can't wait for Syracuse.
He's never lit up anybody in
Delco,
his life.
You've had, it's been a rough 2 weeks for you, bud. Let's not make it.
We're
going to
bounce back.
Let's not make it.
I have a good read now.
Yesterday's ukuleles, today's McCord.
Go orange.
Oh, boy. Yeah, go orange. And by the way, if you want to take a meeting, we can. Next up is Tennessee Tech. At Georgia, no spread.
I don't think you'll even get a late spread on this one.
No.
That would just be throwing money away.
I think this is like a DeVry sitch, maybe. Is this an online school that just kind of threw some people out there?
It might be.
This could be ugly, fast, and maybe in the 80s. It could be 83-0 here. I've never even heard of Tennessee Tech. And forgive me to anybody that goes to school there. Next up is Northern Illinois. At Notre Dame, -28.5. How do you bet on them after last week's game?
I mean, they won.
It wasn't great.
No, it was not great.
Quarterback looked terrible. No. There's nobody fun to watch on this team.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Ugh. I might take Northern Illinois with the points here.
I'm not betting this game in any way, but I definitely wouldn't bet for Notre Dame right now.
That 28.5 is just cock teasing you there to say, hey, dude. They could win by 28, but they're not going to win by more than 28.5. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and play this. Put some money on it. And, I'll fuck around and take Northern Illinois with the points. Let's go. I don't believe in Notre Dame at all. And their fifth? Christ. That's the fifth team in the nation is Notre Dame? Ugh. Gross. Next up, Baylor at Utah. Utah -14. Clearly, the spread is based on last week's performance for Cam Risen. 14 seems like a lot, but it is at Utah.
I don't think it's enough. I think Utah is going to blow them the fuck up.
I'm going to kick this down to a half a point to 13.5, and I'm going to take Utah here. But
I'm going to take the over because Baylor and Utah put up big points in week one.
53.5?
Yeah, 53.5 is comical. Like, yeah. I don't expect Baylor to fucking score 40 points or anything, but I expect him to put like 17 to 21 on the board, and Utah is going to beat them, and that's that.
Yeah.
Mean, there's no way. 53.5 is kind of a comically low or comically high or low under. I mean, excuse me.
You're looking at a 35-24 game there, yeah. 35-20 if you're looking at the spread.
That's about what I think it's going to be.
Yeah. I'll kick this down a half a point and take Utah. And again, rooting for Cam Risen. like when he's healthy. Next up, Iowa State at Iowa.
Oh, shit, the showdown.
Look at this. Week two.
Land
three,
of fucking make-believe
two,
over here.
Week two here. Iowa, -2.5, a rivalry game. Week two. Let's go. Over-under in this game is the lowest I've ever seen.
No, we saw a 29.
Did we see a 29?
Like a 29.5 or 28.5 last year.
This is 35.5 in this game.
Which means you can tease it down to 29.5.
Yeah. Give me Iowa, -2.5.
Gross.
Yeah. Give me Iowa or give me death. All right? They win by a field goal. I think this game is 13-10, and I think they cover by a half a point.
I'm not. There's no way.
Oh, let's go. Let's go, Iowa. I believe your defense is still good. Didn't allow a point last week, so let's go. Let's continue the magic up there in Iowa. All right? They're down at 21 in the nation. They moved up 4 spots from last week. Next up, you got Louisville versus Jacksonville State. This is Louisville -28. I guess if you're a fan of this, you'll bet on this, but I have zero desire to fucking touch this game, you.
No, I mean...
Louisville slings it.
Yeah, Louisville puts up a bunch of points. It'll be a fun game to watch. Louisville will probably score fucking 60, to be honest. So take that.
I love Louisville here. Isn't Jacksonville State, isn't that Dion's former school?
No, it's Jackson State.
Jackson State.
Jacksonville State had Rich Rod.
Okay, yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Louisville covers here. Like, Jacksonville State sucks, and Louisville, under Jeff Brohm, I mean, they're going to score a ton of points.
Sure. If you're out there and you want to watch this game, you guys can have fun. I will be nowhere near this. I won't see it, and we'll fill you in on it next week here. No, I'm not putting money on this. Next up, we got Middle Tennessee against Ole Miss. This is Ole Miss -41. They dropped 76 points last week, so fuck. Who's to say they couldn't do the same thing against Middle Tennessee, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah. Jackson Dart is early front runner for the Heisman. To be honest,
right now,
I mean, he's
him and Cam Ward.
I mean, Cam Ward's probably got a slightly better shot because the ACC fucking sucks. But Ole Miss plays Middle Tennessee, then Wake Forest, then Georgia Southern, then Kentucky, then South Carolina. None of those teams are really good.
What was their first big game?
LSU at LSU on the 12th of October, and then they play Oklahoma the next week. But then Arkansas, then they play Georgia. But then they play Florida and Mississippi State to close it out. I mean, there's a couple of, like, Georgia's going to be a tough game defensively, but none of the rest of these teams are playing have great defenses. I mean, he might fucking throw for 4,000 or 5,000 yards in this goddamn
and
season.
Like we talked about at the top of the show, DBs aren't that great for Georgia. So Jackson Dart against these guys?
Yeah.
Against Georgia, who knows? Georgia's got a tough schedule this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, you got Florida A&M. At Miami, no spread on this game because Florida A&M isn't a real school or a real place. Tickets are $10, by the way, on DrinkerBrosTickets.com if you just want to go to Hard Rock Stadium and have a good time. That's about all I can say about this game. Next up, you got South Florida at Alabama. This is Alabama -31.
Give me that South Florida money line on that. They seem really confident.
How much would that pay off? I bet it's gnarly. So last night's payoff was +550 on that money line.
I bet they don't offer it. It's 31.
I bet you they offer it. I guarantee it. My bookie? Fuck yeah, they do. Look it up, Bob. I guarantee you they offer this. Maybe not this early in the week.
I'm not seeing it yet.
Yeah, maybe not this early in the week, but I promise you they'll offer it towards the end of this fucking thing for sure. But I don't see a reason why Alabama wouldn't cover in this.
No. I mean, it's South Florida's not a bad team, but Alabama, this will be a good week to see the depth, I guess, of their receiver room. They're going to have to run more packages than what they had to do against the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, for example, right?
Yeah,
They're going to have to do quite a bit better, I think. They only had 100-yard receiver, which is nice. I guess that he got a lot of receptions there, but what happens if Ryan Williams gets shut down a little bit? This is a problem the last 3 seasons for Alabama. That they went from having 2 or 3 great receivers to having maybe 1. Uh-huh. And he's Ryan Williams is great. Whether Milroe can get him the ball or not is a question sometimes. But I think this will be 31 is a lot of points.
It is.
But I think, like, not that you should care about the spread, but I do think seeing, like, because the kids know that shit. I think seeing that and going out and beating that is important this early in the season to establish a little confidence.
I agree.
Like, Saban never really – I know Smart
– never cared about
Smart doesn't run it up. Saban never ran it up. I get it. It's not like Alabama stuff, but and Clemson doesn't really either with Dabo over there. But sometimes I think it would be good this early in the season to fuck somebody up.
Yeah.
It's actually a quality team and not Western Kentucky or whatever.
Should we be worried that South Florida's coach, who is from Moscow, gets intel from the Russian government?
No.
No.
Kathy Hochul, you should be worried about. We'll talk about that on fake news. But yeah, no, I think you're good over here.
It's probably a bit worse.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Buffalo Bulls at University of Missouri. Bob, 34.5. Buffalo they destroyed Lafayette 30-13 for its first win under new head coach Pete Lembo out there for the Buffalo Bulls. They're on a 1-0 roll here heading into Missouri, minus 34.5. I know you love the Bulls plus the points here on this one.
No. No, I there's no way I'm betting this fucking game. But Missouri looked good. I think they'll probably score 40, 50 points. If Buffalo scores at all, it would be a goddamn miracle.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Missouri defense is good.
We should cover this. I think the offense in particular, even though they looked good, like, there's some plays they missed. I think they really want to – they're going to try to score a lot
Buffalo
of
points. Buffalo is, like, one of the worst teams in the FBS, so Buffalo money line.
Yeah. All in, dude. All in on Buffalo.
What is it, like 80-1 or something?
It would be great. They got no shot in this fucking game. I don't know what the final's going to be, but – 34.5-ish.
I could see Missouri throwing up 50, 60 in this.
Yep.
Something like that.
I could, too. It's just it's a lot of points for a team that I'm kind of unfamiliar with. So
I would be more – I could see it being like 42-5. Or not 5, but 42-7.
They get
basically.
A safety. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That like would – 42-6. Hey, the over-under is 51.5.
Yeah.
So let's say it was 45-7. You hit the over, and maybe that's possible. Tickets are $26 on drinkingbrostickets.com. Feel free to go to the game and cheer them on. It's a night game, at least. Next up is Kansas at Illinois. This is Kansas minus 5 at Illinois. Who you got?
Kansas, yep, at minus 5. They, we saw Illinois play. They're fine. They have some, they like FBS schools. Yo, they'll beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, but there was, it didn't look great to start off with.
No, it didn't. It's, and Kansas has a series of really good running backs. They're going to run all over these guys. I think maybe a 2-touchdown game here.
I agree. I've got Kansas in this one. We have the benefit of seeing this team in person last week, and it was rough sledding initially, and then they picked it up towards the end. But look, if you're there and you're an Illinois fan, you can get blackout drunk on 16-ounce hard AF seltzers in the stadium. Every other kiosk, you're good to go. And that's a reason to go to this game and root for them. Tickets are only $31, so head on out there to the old stadium, and it's a night game in Illinois. 72 at kickoff out there, but I'm betting Kansas as well at minus 5. Next up is Western Michigan at Ohio State in a night game, 75 degrees in the shoe. Ohio State minus 38.5 in this one. Yeah, they'll run it up.
I'm not betting that.
38.5
is an insane amount of points.
I'm betting it as a homer. Look, I took them last week. You guys saw the bet in sports. It was minus 42 last week. They covered that. And I don't think they'll have a problem covering this. And they're going to get sharper. The only thing is, again, how many fucking mouths to feed on this team and keeping all these guys happy. That's going to be the biggest challenge because for the next 5 weeks, they don't have anybody to play. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think they win 52 to whatever, 56 to something, maybe 7 in this game. And they'll cover just fine. Next up is Tennessee, number 14. At NC State, this is Tennessee minus 8.
This is in it's in Charlotte.
It was in Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah, it's where the Panthers play.
Why?
It's the Duke's Mayo Classic, man.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is this where they always pan to the guy who eats the jar of mayonnaise?
That's our boy Jay.
Yeah, that's the bowl game, and then I guess they'll probably do it here too. But it's like one of those. It's like in basketball, you know, you got a preseason tournament. It's one of those like sort of early season specials.
Well, look, Dan and I have been to NC State numerous times. I can tell you that
it's a shithole.
It's not a big school.
No,
and they're certainly not going to travel to Charlotte that great. So this will be a sellout for Tennessee. I think the spread is really fucking low, and I'm all in on Tennessee minus -8.
Yeah, same.
I mean, this is nuts. This is, again, when we talked about the top, NC State's at 24. They'll dip out of the top 25, get in a couple weeks. This is going to be their run the whole season. But Tennessee's going to fucking roll them. And I'm all in on -8. Next up, you got Nichols, wherever that is, against LSU.
Nope.
No spread. Because it's Nichols, not even Dimes. Don't know where that is. Never heard of it. And congratulations, LSU, for getting your first victory this season. Yay. Next up is Houston at Oklahoma. This is Oklahoma, -30. Houston football does not look as good as they once did here.
No.
So
I would take – I love OU here if you want to go for – as far as big spread games go. Houston scored 7 against UNLV last week.
Yep.
And also, just take whatever the Houston team under is. Those lines you don't come out till day of, but Houston's probably not going to score.
Maybe not, and I'm with you. I got Oklahoma in this game. They should have no problem here. Jackson Arnold looked pretty good in his limited amount of time last week, 4 touchdowns. And yeah, I think Oklahoma rolls. Night game. That crowd will be fired up there. Next up, you got Appalachian State, up in Boone, North Carolina, at Clemson. This is Clemson -17.5. Do you trust that?
No.
I don't either. App State's always pretty feisty, man. Mm-hmm. And Clemson just got their pants pulled down in front of the nation. They've got to have some motivation to come out and win this, but did they win it by 17.5? I don't think so. I'll take App State, 17.5.
I'll take App State with the points.
Just because here. And I know it's a night game. I know it's a night game for you guys, and you'll be out fucking raging and all that other shit, but they did not look great last week, and the play calling was fucking awful.
I don't think, you know, it's a night game, and it's a home game, and it's like, oh, the crowd will be crazy. I don't think the crowd's going to be having a good time. I think it's going to be like the Florida State crowd. Like, I think they're not going to be excited.
Right.
They're going to be tense and angry.
Yeah, and Clemson is barely in the top 25 here at 25 after that bad loss to Georgia. Next up, game of the week, in my opinion. Really looking forward to this one. This is Boise State at Oregon. Spread is Oregon -19. I was very impressed with Boise State last week.
Are you kidding me?
Always bet on Boise, dude.
I got to pay for the cock to watch this?
Always bet on Boise. Is this on Peacock?
It's on the cock.
God damn it, man. This streaming bullshit sucks.
It's awful.
Sucks.
You guys know Peacock?
I have it just because my wife buys everything behind my back, so it's like...
I've got everything, too, because it's a tax write-off. But, yeah, man, I don't know.
Give me Boise State plus the points.
No, I'll take Oregon.
Always bet on Boise.
You're going to end up with blonde hair again if you don't knock it off with this stupid shit.
Always bet on Boise.
Not when they're on the fucking Smurf turf, maybe, but not when they go to Eugene, Oregon.
Nope. Always bet on Boise. Boise... +19. Let's fucking go. Boise's running back had 6 touchdowns last week, 267 yards on 20 carries.
Yeah, the thing is, though, they needed all 6.
Yeah.
Because Georgia Southern gave them a game.
I'm telling you, man. Boise. Oregon did not look great against Idaho. This is a better team in the state of Idaho at home.
Let's see.
I'm in. And this is the night game. Let's go.
Yeah, there's no fucking way. Oregon's going to smash their dick holes in.
I don't think they are.
Yeah, they are.
I think they looked like shit last week. I think they smelled like shit. I can smell it in their fucking clothes. Give me Boise, dude. +19. I'm going to take this in some teasers as well and have fun with it. Should be a really fun game. Next up is Northern Arizona against Arizona. Northern Arizona is not a real place, so there's no spread on this game. Tickets are $4 at University of Arizona. So that should tell you something right there.
Yeah, nothing good.
No. Last but not least, here we got Utah State at USC. USC -28.5. Who you got?
UFC's or USC's defense looked better than it has in the past. I don't know. I'm still not going to give them fucking nearly 30 points even against Utah State.
I am. I'll do it. Look, Utah State, who did they play last week? It was somebody shitty. It was Robert Morris. Forgive me for all you Robert Morris alums out there.
There was a dope-ass interception in that game.
Yeah, there sure was. Play of the year so far, that fucking one-hander homeboy caught was rad. But, I'll take USC in this one. I think they win by 35-plus, and then they blow the doors off. Night game, USC, usual 15,000 people will be there. Tickets you can actually just walk right up to the box office if you want to at USC. I'm not kidding either. Last time I was there, I literally walked right up to the box office and bought them like I was a child buying fucking Cracker Jacks at the stadium. So no need to buy these in advance. Get them right in the fucking 50 or probably a song, maybe for perform a song in front of the box office.
Let's do a little mime show.
That's it. That's all you got to do there. But yeah, not a lot of crazy good games this week, but good enough. Good enough. You know, Texas, Michigan will be fun. Again, we'll be there. I'll be doing a live show from the Brown Jug on Friday. And you can buy the University of Michigan cans now. Those launched last week. High, high demand. So, yeah, go to the Brown Jug and buy those. And then the variety packs are around everywhere. And we'll kind of tell you where they're at as far as Hard AF Seltzer is concerned. And we're looking forward to going to the Big House in 65-degree weather to watch some college football at noon, baby. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify, just a 5-star. You can walk away. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is College Football Week 2 Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.